Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Yo, yo, yo.
Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, boy.
All right. This is the last time the three of us are going to be together. Force Awakens virgins. And I'm gonna lay it right out there now. I'm scared because in about 1 hour from now, people are going to start filing out of theaters just a few miles away from me, having seen the premiere, like the gala premiere. I don't want to see the internet. I've already had too many things ruined to me by the jerks at Wired and other places who think it's really clever to create these little GIFs that show you scenes from trailers I've been avoiding.
Yeah.
No. Twitter GIFs are a pox. I sincerely, it's Monday. I thought I would turn off Twitter on Wednesday. It might have to be right now.
Oh, no. A premiere's tonight, and it's not a regular premiere where it's just there at the, you know, the Chinese theater and, you know, friends, family, producers, crew goes and sees it. This is three theaters, right, Andrew, that they're showing it at simultaneously?
I believe so, yeah.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, it's press. So you will start to get – I don't think that they're even going to try and embargo it.
They have an embargo, but I don't think it's going to be on.
Good luck. Yeah. You know, for – I mean, like, sure, you'll have the sort of Damocles of, you know, you will maybe not get invited to other Star Wars stuff. But
the quick prediction,
page views will be worth it.
I think we're about an hour away or so and 2 hours away from Drudge with the link to the first review of Star Wars, because somebody's going to break the embargo to get the scoop.
Yeah. But that's if you're going to look for tea leaves, if Disney thought the movie sucked, would they don't need to run this in three theaters, right? Like, they could just run it in the one theater as the premiere, you know, if they wanted. They didn't have to shut down Hollywood Boulevard.
Bigger premiere. This is a bigger, they've taken up more space, more theater space than the Oscars.
Let's certainly hope that this is where now we're looking at a vine, a time lapse vine of the red carpet
from Chris Taylor.
Yeah, from Weird Things correspondent Chris Taylor. Also, I think he wrote a book having to do with it.
And it kind of runs Mashable, but other than that,
yeah, you know, whatevs. I was talking to Andrew earlier today, and it's like, really, I just need to know now if it's bad. Like, I want to know if it's bad now. Otherwise, it's fine. If it's anything other than bad, don't tell me. I'll experience
but
it for
here's,
myself.
Here's the thing we know it's going to happen, is we know there's going to be the person that's already decided that they want to write the review that rips into it because they want to pick apart the machine and everything about that. There's going to be the high-profile critic that's decided that needs to be the story they want to tell. Is that and the more people like it to, like, no, this is pre-formulated whatever Disney garbage that's designed to make you feel like it's good, but it's a temporary high, whatever. We're going to get those, you know.
Yes.
We're going to get people who – there's a lot of people seeing this who aren't fans, and I don't mean like the hardcore way, but like, oh, yeah, it's cool, and they're like, oh, yeah, and it won't resonate. And so I never know how I feel about a movie until the second time I see it.
For the record –
well, you knew how you felt about Phantom Menace.
For the record, let me just out one Weird Things producer.
Oh, no.
One Bryce Castillo.
Oh.
Who admitted on a phone call, two or three nights ago.
We already had that outing, Brian.
All right.
I see what you did there. All right.
We don't need a lawsuit here.
Bryce admitted that he had never seen any of the Star Wars movies at all, right?
Yep.
So, yep. And he was like,
I'm not in a rush to go see it. I was thinking I would go see it after I saw the other movies. That was my whole plan leading up to it. And then that just kind of fell apart.
And I would say that's all the more reason for you to, like, you are uniquely qualified. You can experience the movie not having seen anything. Mm-hmm. And you're the only person I know who can judge it on its own merits.
Like you're loosely familiar with the world. You're loosely familiar with the lore.
There's a planet, but it's gone now. There was
Spock, all that.
There was a wrecking ball, and Vulcan. There was a second wrecking ball.
That's right. Look, no, you got it. And there's like laser swords and the word Jedi.
So wait, your point is go see 7 first.
Alone and tell me what it's like. Like I would love to know what that's like.
I'm curious, but like for me, it's not gonna all I care about is do I like the movie?
Oh no! I mean, like, Brian's not saying like that he's the canary in the coal mine. No.
Like what I'm saying
he wants to pick.
I want to know.
Bryce is just he's not a canary. He's a lab animal. You know, like he just
right. I'm a gerbil.
Brian wants there is, to.
There can be no.
We don't
objective.
Need a lawsuit here, Bryce.
There is no objective. Version of or a review of this. There is nothing that exists in a vacuum that says if this is good or not. Mm-hmm. It all depends upon our individual thing. We might say collectively, yes, we like it or we don't, but we don't live. I mean, this is not an objectivist Ayn Rand universe where, you know, we can look at an equation and say, yes, this movie is good.
Can we predict now? Who among us will like it and who will have reservations?
I will probably like it the least. I predict that Andrew will be the one who proclaims it the best ever and will be intolerant of any other position and argue very loudly.
Is it still called defensiveness if you do it before anything happens?
Yeah, sure.
Pre-defensiveness.
I think I will as I will tend to do. I will verbalize what small cracks I perceive in it. I think it will generally be a very good show, but
want you'll
to
have
talk
a slow
about,
burn of yeah. just like oh right.
No, actually, I'll tell you what. You're dead wrong. Because we'll see it Thursday.
Mm. Yeah.
But we're not going to record Thursday.
No.
You're going to go see it Friday with the family.
I will not because
you're
I couldn't find tickets.
You couldn't get
I
tickets?
I haven't told Bonnie that yet. Oops. Also, I'm supposed to go to a bachelor party. But I've got to do it's in Vegas.
So,
anyway, I was going to say, you would by the time that we did Weird Things Again, if you had seen it with Penny, because there is a distinct difference between your reviews where you go see it by yourself or with like adults.
Yeah.
And then it's like, a random sci-fi movie. I highly recommend that you see it with a 9-year-old girl that you've been the inspiration for her birth.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That's the Brian Brushwood review for every movie you go see with Penny.
Yes.
I was crying. It was amazing.
In defense of future Andrew, Brian, I've made clear to Justin some of my concerns given the persons involved and going and what I've seen going, this feels like it's going to be this and this and this and this, which
you want to get it out? Get it out. What are your fears?
Don't corrupt.
I know.
Don't
no, corrupt. No. Okay. No. It's form stuff. It's not like it's not
all
spoiler
right.
stuff.
All right.
there's a pause,
and he goes, the monster's in the water tower.
Yeah.
So there is an inherent problem anytime a big studio has tried to launch a new series is that they front load a lot of stuff that means leave so many things unanswered that the unanswered questions take the foreground as opposed to the background where they should be. And that has been I have not seen that really handled very well outside of, let's say, maybe the Marvel universe, where we've had so many things where they're just so front loaded a setup that you're like, great. Where's the rest of the movie? Like, we'll come back, you know, in a couple of years. Like, no, I want.
No, but that's a good point. Like I think Iron Man was the quintessential version of that, right? Where Iron Man was a standalone movie. Mm-hmm. And then they managed in the end of the third act to drop, by the way, strategic homeland, blah, 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 means S.H.I.E.L.D. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, crap. And then, and then we got a little teaser
at the
end. And
they could set stuff up. And, I mean, that's fine. Like, I loved, you know, Captain America, I thought, did a really good, we got this sad ending. And then we know it's not the ending, but we got this, spoiler, Red Skull got defeated. You know, he beat the Nazis, you know, which is the one most important thing for him to do. And then they picked up with Winter Soldier and often, you know, after all the other Avenger stuff. And Winter Soldier is a great film. And I think that you can do these very, but you take things like, a lot of these other attempts at trying to do stuff, Prometheus and other stuff, where you just get this. You
Batman
start
Batman versus Superman. He said before seeing the movie.
Yeah. You know, you get these things that are set up in front of you and then you don't get that. I want to see a whole story that I know that like that I know at the end. Yes, it will go there. Empire is a totally different movie from Star Wars. Empire does not feel like Star Wars Part 2.
Right.
Empire's, hey, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, other stuff happened, but it's nothing like that first movie. You know, Star Wars is this kid on, you know, guy, there are people on a small mission. Empire, there are people on the run, and you know, and I thought that they wonderfully handled that. Where all my problem with Marvel movies, it's we got to stop the what's it before the bad guy gets it.
Yeah, or no, we have the what's it, and we got to keep it from the bad guy, and then the bad guy gets the what's it at the end of the second act,
yeah.
And then we have to go get the what's it back, which leads to our final battle.
So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, like I went at Guardians. I fell in love with Guardians of the Galaxy the second time I saw it. First time I saw it, you know, I'm very too aware of a bunch of the little story jumps and little things this here and there that kind of grate on me a little bit. And then now that I know that they're there, the second time I go into it, thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. So I think that's true of many things. It's the second time around. Like first time we go into Star Wars, there are two movies. We walk in there with a movie in our head.
Yeah.
And we have this cassette tape that we got to let Force Awakens erase over that.
Yeah.
And as it's going through there, there's going to be a lot of like, wait, what? All right, cool. Oh, that was cool. Like, wait. And then you get to the end of it. You're like, okay, my tape is now. I know what this is, the tape is. Now when I go watch it again.
So here's what I think is going to happen. Andrew will be the most critical. Brian will enjoy it thoroughly. They will then get into very pedantic arguments about who's right. And who's
on that,
wrong.
On that, we both agree.
And I will just be relieved as if I had been pardoned a death row sentence. Because for me, it's not whether or not these movies are good or bad. Like, it will be a full year before I can judge them artistically. I just need to not be a sucker. I need the universe to look me in the eye and say, you're not a sucker for being so excited about these movies. Like, that's all I need.
I judge a movie partially on, do I want to go back in and watch it again? And,
yeah.
And the movies that I've paid money to go see it again in a theater. I'm one of these people, I almost never would watch something until years later because it's just a very vivid memory of what it is. Movies I've gone back and paid again to see in the theater, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, yep, walking right back around in to go see that movie again and enjoying it. I probably saw that three times in the theater.
Right.
I think I saw Winter Soldier twice or so. I think I saw that twice. There may be something else that I can't think of, but
Man, by the way, especially knowing that Civil War is around the corner, is Captain America now the strongest Marvel franchise in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I mean, because, you mean critically?
No. I mean, like as far as quality, like because Iron Man 2 was kind of dog crap,
kind of butt.
Yeah, and Iron Man 3, I liked it a lot, but people had problems with it. But it's like, as far as like batting 1,000, I think Captain America is perfect because it's pretty much it's focused on the core story about the hero of the Avengers. So you're able to dabble into
And they both feel like different movies. You know,
I mean,
both the original Captain America and Winter Soldier feel like one feels like this Indiana Jonesy, you know, man on a mission, transformation, finding out who he is kind of story. And then you know, Winter Soldier feels like a like almost you
Three
know,
Days of the Condor.
Yeah, 70s political you know, like thriller where at some point it's like, oh no, wait, also this is about helicarriers and yes. like, you know, laser beams and stuff like that. So it's like and now Civil War, which more and more feels like the movie that the Avengers 2
should have been
wanted to be.
Yeah.
And well, you know, to the credit too of you go back and you know, one of the reasons I love Winter Soldier is you really like Anthony Mackie before he has anything special about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a really cool, interesting, likable guy that's got his very own sort of that you'd almost feel like, oh, tonight on Fox, you know, working at a VA hospital, the trauma, you know, like, oh, yeah, you've seen this really cool story about this former vet, the VA hospital, who's, you know, dealing with the trauma and all that. And he runs into some really old vet.
This is which character?
This is Falcon.
Civil War. Of course.
You know, and like you're invested in him and you like him, and then it's like, and you're kind of like, when does he become Falcon? And he's like, oh yeah, this hint that I dropped about having a wingman. No, literally, it's an effing wingman. You know, you're like,
no, I was,
oh cool, I'm on board. You know,
well that knows Civil War had so much, just the Zola machine.
Oh, just thinking and, that. And that was so and good.
Civil War
Winter Soldier.
And by the way, the only slight ding on Winter Soldier was the fact that it's like, wow, it's been 90 whole cinematic minutes until you went back to the first movie. You know, it's
until he went back to the camp or whatever.
Well, no. I mean, his enemy from, you know, the exact last movie. It would have been great. You know, it would have been great to see Zola as, you know, an emergence in a third movie or whatever, after you had some breathing room from.
I absolutely hear you, Brian. But I'll say what I kind of loved was just the idea that it was. Then you're in, you're like, oh wow, and then it's done. It's like, yeah, I'm here, I'm done, but it's not about me.
Yeah, now, no, it's like,
I kind of
like, you've met me, and I'm in this weird like analog supercomputer.
Apple
IIe. Yeah, like, and now that I found you, I'll kill you by sending in the missiles. Like, and then you know they
also
survive.
I kill myself.
Yeah, and then yeah. I mean, like that seems like you said, that's great, man. Anthony Mackie, he's a VA guy. He's got his own morals. He follows a journey. You know, it's almost like a disaffected stormtrooper who.
All right.
Know,
stop.
On a journey.
Stop.
It seems like no speculation.
I'm to the point
seems
where
like
I,
an interesting. I have no idea. This is all I've watched. I've watched everything you've watched. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into that. I'm consciously making up fake spoilers in my head, so I'm totally confused.
No, I've not watched anything. I didn't watch the 60 Minutes thing.
No. Ooh, no.
Yeah.
So
what are you talking?
We're on the same page,
you idiot.
Don't worry. I just don't want to join you on that.
Page
I won't even make a joke spoiler at you. I won't even make a joke about a spoiler because I don't want to do that. Here's the thing that I'm excited about too, though, is it? Let's say we go see this movie, and it's not gonna suck. You know, I mean, like. I watched Star Trek Into Darkness again, and like Star Trek, it's got a bunch of plot holes and things like that. It's still an entertaining, fun movie. And if I've got that set in the Star Wars universe, it's maybe just a little bit more tighter, I'll be happy.
Just a little more tighter, I'll be happy. Also, just not constantly every 5 minutes finding a reason to wink at the screen, to wink at the audience that like, remember this other movie?
Yeah.
Right? So,
Here's the thing that's really exciting to think about. Let's say we go see this and we're all like, yeah, you know, it's cool. Next year, Rogue One. After that, Rian Johnson gets a shot at it.
Who, by the way, stack up the best three Rian Johnson movies, stack up the best three J.J. Abrams movies. It's pretty clear who the better director is, yes. Right?
What else has Rian Johnson done besides Looper?
Brick, Looper.
I hear good things about Brick. Is that true?
Oh, have you not watched Brick?
No.
Brick is amazing.
I did watch Brothers Bloom. I loved it.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying that Rian Johnson is the better director.
He's the better director.
Oh, good. Yeah. I didn't know what the implication
was.
No.
Yeah. Brick basically relaunched Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career.
Wow.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the kid from Third Rock from the Sun.
So he did Brick before he did 500 Days of Summer?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Brick.
I just want to rewatch Looper right this minute now. Looper was
but
so good.
But then again, Rian Johnson did do the Fly episode of Breaking Bad. So,
wait,
I'm kidding.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I hated it too.
Really?
Yeah,
I liked it. It showed him breaking. He was at his limit.
Just felt like it
bottle felt episode. Really anyhow, point is, no, Rian Johnson's great. We've got this. I think the potential to make these films even more interesting and exciting is absolutely there. I just remember, like, Phantom Menace is like going into Phantom Menace, this is not where we were. Phantom Menace, we were making constant excuses for why their voices were already saying, like, hey, Lucas hasn't directed a film in years. He's not, and there we already heard the rumors, like, yeah, other people turned it down, didn't want to do it, and all that. And then we're kind of like, yeah, but it's Star Wars. It's going to be Star Wars. We're going to like it. We're getting 2 hours of Star Wars.
How can there be a bad Star Wars movie.
And then,
we found out
3 minutes into that film, as I'm watching them communicate down to the trade vessel thing, and I'm like, I'm watching the scrawl about a trade dispute, and I'm like, first start of the name. When the French was announced, there was Phantom Menace. It took a lot of convincing ourselves, like, oh no, it's a harks back to the old Flash Gordon serials, like. Yeah, it was just 3 minutes into that film. Right, and they're in a goddamn Hilton conference room, waiting to be served water. Waiting to be served refreshments.
All right, look, I'm calling it. I the less time I spend remembering anything except for the future, the happier I'll be. Real quick, my pick is again How to Fly a Horse. Also, watch all of Star Wars. Also, check out all of the Dark Tower series.
My picks. The Contender. Buy all of them today.
Yeah.
Contender.us.
Yeah.
My pick is Mission Impossible 3. Probably my favorite Abrams film.
All right. Right on, dude. Guys, how's it been? It's
been after?
Yeah, thank you.
I knew. I just was not going to do it.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.